The question is, if we sold our stock, would we still be natives? Well, I think that's up to you. Being a native doesn't depend on whether you've got a piece of paper, I shouldn't think. It depends on your birth and your blood and your family and... that's up to you. Yes, Ms. Johnson.
What are ways that we could do to prevent from losing our land?
Well, Mrs. Johnson asks the question, what are the ways in which we could make sure we don't lose our land? Well, if the settlement isn't changed at all, in 1991 you can sell your shares. Well, if everybody decides, no, we're going to keep our shares, we're not going to sell them, then you won't lose your land. Now, that's one thing. After 1991, the state could tax your land. So if you, you'd then have to raise the money to pay the taxes then to keep the land. And of course, if the corporations go into debt, go bankrupt, then the people they owe money to would be entitled to take the land or some of it. Now, it seems that there are a lot of problems here, and even if you decide, well, we're not going to sell your shares, we're not going to sell our shares, well, you might still, the corporations might still lose the land. Not all of it, but they might lose some of it. So those are real problems, and it's because all these problems are built into the land claim settlement that I was asked to come out here well ahead of time. You know, it's not 1991 yet, it's only 1984, but they said, let's look into this with a lot ahead of time to see if we can sort it out. I know this sounds complicated, and it is, but I'm trying to make it as simple as I can.
Well, how do we go about the corporation then to be aware of 1991 or if they go broke?
Well, Mrs. Johnson, question is, how do we make sure the corporation doesn't go broke? Well, that's up to the corporation. If they're making money, they won't go broke. If they start losing a lot of money, they could go broke. And then their creditors might move in and say, look, you're bankrupt. We want that land. Now that's, you know, that sometimes happens. Sometimes corporations do go broke. But I think in fairness, it should be said, none of the corporations have gone broke yet. Somebody had a...
If corporations do go broke and the creditors come in and take the corporation's land, you say, that would be the land that's conveyed to the corporations, not to the people.
Well, that means that, for instance, Mr. Hamilton's native allotment, mm-hmm. He would keep it. But the land that's held by the corporation could be taken. No. Your allotments are safe. They're okay. It's the land that's held by the native corporations that we're concerned about. Now, I was just telling Mrs. Johnson about some of the problems, and I said that some people around the state have said, look, let's turn the land. We own the corporations. We native people own the corporations, so let's have the corporations transfer the land in trust to the IRA councils or to the traditional council or in some other way to hold the land in trust for all the native people in the village or the region so that it will no longer be land that is held by the corporation, and thus it cannot be taken. Now, there's another provision in the law that says you can put the land into a land bank, and it can't be taxed, but it would still be possible to lose the land if the corporation were to be taken over by non-natives. I'm really here to find out what's important to you. Is it the land, subsistence, keeping the land, or is it
in an area of misconduct that they're not eligible for extended benefits. So I didn't even have so much as a say in this because their statute says that I was wrong. The employer says that I'm wrong, and I have no recourse but to say, okay, no more even so much as extended benefits. I feel like they have encroached onto our land and our lives and everything. And once you take the land away, there's nothing left. You know, we will die out as a people, even if we are the original landowners. And I totally resent the whole thing. You know, it's coming down to the wire now. I see some of those corporations, and I've heard it, there's fear all over the state in the Native people that I see. Anyway, like, I don't know how you're going to resolve it, but I know that there's this resentment building up in me, and it's making me... It's making me look out, you know, out to the state government and to the federal government and saying, you know, what are you guys doing? You know, and I am being more politically active. And, you know, I feel some release in that area. But I still think that ultimately they're out to get us, and they will get us. And I don't see what we could do to stop it. And if there's any ideas that you guys have, you know, I should sure like to hear it. You know, to be able to maintain, keep that land. How can we get this whole state back like we had it before? Not very long ago either. You know, it just gives me a feeling of, I'm resentful, and I don't like it. And I don't know how you're going to get me to think that I'm ever going to like it either. So for my kids, what am I saying to them? But they said, well, what did you guys do, you know? What did you do, you know? And literally, I don't know what the hell we did, except I know that we're losing, number one.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. I should say that when I write my report and send it to you next summer, I hope I will be able to come up with some proposals. The thing is complicated and it's difficult, but with the help you're giving me today in making it clear what really matters to you, makes it easier for me to write a report that will, I hope, be helpful.
About those people.
That's a good point. Could I just ask you to give your name?
Mary Walker.
Didn't you say something earlier about the teaching about land claims in the high school?
Yes, I did.
Could you repeat that just so I didn't quite follow it before? You were talking with, I think, Mrs. Johnson. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, she kind of wasn't too sure if they were teaching native land claims in the high school or not, and to my knowledge, they are.
And that's in the high school here at Holy Cross?
Mm-hmm.
And is it a course, or is it part of a course, or what is it?
It's a course, Native Land Claims course, taught by Mary Kovas, who was a high school teacher here.
Mm-hmm.
And the course itself was a quarter or maybe a semester long.
I see.
And the lady that taught it didn't have adequate background in Native Land Claims. I'm sure she didn't understand a lot of things, but what she did understand, she explained to the students. So I don't see where she could have gone too wrong if nobody else understands it either.
Were you a student there of hers?
Oh, no.
Oh. Forgive me.
I met Mary here, and her and I were talking, and somebody brought up ages, and as it turned out, I was older than she is.
well, thank you
anyway. No, I'm...
I shouldn't apologize.
No, you don't have to apologize. Heck no. Tell me more. No. No, Mary was a colleague of mine. I'm a teacher here at Holy Cross, elementary school teacher. My first year was this past school year. And I'm not insulted.
Thank you. Very first.
A teacher from Holy Cross.
Oh, I see.
So we're proud of her. Oh, you are too. Oh.
Well, my name is Carl Giroux from Anvik. And when I was just starting high school, that's when I had some high school courses, and they were about native land claims. But the thing was, it was so mixed up, and I really couldn't understand it then, and I really couldn't now. I think what Congress did was wrong. They knew we didn't know nothing about this act that they passed. And they knew we were not business inclined. And so they had to all figure it out. We'll let them give them the try, and that's the only chance they're going to get. And if they mess up, you know, it's their fault. And now I think the village corporations, they should get more young people.
People's time and money to help cut short our use of wildlife for food in Alaska. Read the paper. Nearly every day, some part of Alaska's wildlife is being challenged as to whether you can hunt to put food on your table. They are making an all-out effort today to stop the fur seal hunting a practice that has been going on for years and years, and is part of the Aleut's very existence. Who's doing it? All through the preservation, environmental, friends of the animals, the ones that are going to cut you short. Here in Anchorage, Alaska, they stand up before crowds and tell you you have no right to use the ungulate animals for food, as you are depriving the only rightful user of his food, the wolf. It has been said over and over again, you sold your right to use the resource in signing the act. From all indications, that's about where we will be come 2020. I've heard lawyers say how sound the act was. Coming close to 1991, they're changing their tune. Even sometimes exposing the very weakness of the act they know was there all along. Pretty hard to convince me we didn't get a bad deal. But with good, sound business practices and people dedicated to success on down the road, you can succeed. Be alert, watch out, keep your eyes open. I still say you were designed to lose all. Doyon reports that 25% of the shares went south already since the passing of the act. I would say it's going too fast. Before the act was passed, we had some can't read my own writing. He said, before the act was passed, we had some hearings, so-called, pertaining to the act. Feelers, if you may. I was called a wise guy by Mr. Udall because for contradicting his program, seems odd. We are again questioned, how was it? Is it working? How bad? Something tells me you don't know where we should be by now, if not why. Weaknesses, I say, in the act, why isn't it working? To the ultimatum benefit of those the act was intended for. Why such a weak and political lawyer intended program to start with, using the very people it was intended to help as pawns to sufficient to the desires and profit of the politicians, lobbyists, and lawyers. I feel with very good business insights you will succeed. I feel strongly we will lose our subsistence right to use our wildlife eventually. I really feel that. The opposition is so strong, too strong. Your top moneymakers are backing up the preservationists to the tune of millions and millions of dollars. The very people you watch on TV every day and listen to, name them all. One woman gave $50 million to the preservationists to help deprive you of your right to eat this resource that I'm talking about. What are we doing?
Who claim any land anywhere? After all, Doyon started without any roots anywhere in Alaska. Whatever they touch turns into a you-know-what. The only candidate for governor when they had the last election, or even mentioned tribal land rights, was Don Wright. So I cast my vote for him. As I knew that tribal ownership and management is of priority importance to the survival of any and all native tribes. You have the land, and if you manage it right, it'll work out itself. You don't have to try to sell it to anybody. It belongs to the tribe. And I think the tribe done a good job of taking care of it before. Go on, I got lots more. I can answer lots more questions.
Thank you, there.
I didn't answer this question. I got sidetracked and building up to it, and I forgot to answer his question. You know, like Sydney and Jimmy said, and whoever else has said that, that's their own personal opinion, and I think that's the way it has to be until we can come together. The way I see coming together, and I think it's a good, to me, it's easier to understand. I cannot do something unless I understand what I'm going to do and why I'm going to do it. And to me, unity is the big thing right now. And unity is where people can work together and put everybody's strengths in the pot and get something done that way. And to express unity the way I envision unity is I put out my hand to shake somebody else's hand and they reach out and shake my hand. So we meet each other halfway. I go out to meet the plane and I'm meeting my best friend. So he's coming in and I'm going to meet him and we embrace, you know, embrace and share friendship. It's just like the Good Samaritan. I mean, not the Good Samaritan, but the prodigal son. He was coming home and his dad went out there to meet him, ran to meet him while he was running to meet his dad. They were running to meet each other. To me, that's an expression of unity. And that's the physical sense. But there's the mental sense. The mental sense is when we can mentally agree to bring something into physical existence while it's only in spiritual existence. That's how mental strength works, is that we can put our physical energies together to create something. My personal opinion of, to answer Sydney, now I quit getting sidetracked, is that to me the Land Claims Bill was created for all the people that are here now and are yet to come, for all the native people. So I feel in this sense that, yes, we need to make sure that the people born after 1971 are part of Gunaiyu in this area. And as far as the stock, I don't think that we should sell something when we don't know what we have. Not yet, anyway. Maybe not ever. I heard somebody say that they didn't think the stock should ever be sold. Well, I really haven't thought about that. But as far as selling the stock now, I don't think we're ready to sell the stock. If a person had something to sell personally, that they own personally, they wouldn't be ready to sell it unless
subsistence. Our whole settlement, or all of our land thing, was selected for its subsistence value. We didn't select it for timber or gold, anything like that. We selected it for the subsistence. We don't have any commercial amount of timber where we can get in some operation. It just doesn't exist. When we go get logs, you pick one straight log here and move down the river and pick another one and another one. Big forests of them don't exist. We're trying to protect subsistence through a provision in the D2 bill called the Alaska Land Bank Program. We're having trouble even negotiating that agreement because, one, we've been told that this new Alaska land claims is an opportunity for you to be in private business and take off and go off into the future. When you go back and deal with government and try to get them to enact some of the provisions of these bills, they're kind of reluctant and treat us as if we were Indians of the past century and treat our settlement of Indians of the past century. Puts us in a very, it puts us into a catch-22 situation. I want to answer Mac's question on employment. I realize he kind of beat around the bush. But we do offer employment in a limited number. We have a store here which employs 2 people, and we have a land department that has 3 people and an office staff of 4 people, and then a Max and our general manager, or 3 people and Max and our general manager. We also have fuel depots in each of the villages that supplies a necessity. We don't make any money off it, and it employs a couple of people on a part-time basis. I also wanted to explain Max's thing again on land, on the price of land and when it took place. In 1978 was when the city had their first sale of land, and that was 3 cents a square foot. Last year, at the last land sale, it was selling for an average of 32 cents a square foot. That's an incredible jump. By us not having the opportunity by which to provide something for our shareholders, shareholder leases, some kind of shareholder programs, it's going to be very difficult in Galena. We may be able to do it in other villages, but in Galena it's going to be a little bit more difficult because we're competing with a competitor who's selling land or in the market in real estate. I can't understand it. I don't know why. Galena is probably the only town in Alaska that's in the real estate business. It saddens me. In the terms of selling stock in 91, we don't know what we're going to do. I've been authorized by the president to hold meetings with the native councils so we can talk about these issues, so we can get a feeling for these issues. We can't wait for your commission, or we can't wait for the AFN. We're just got to go do it ourselves. We don't know what form this is going to take, but I'm under the opinion myself is that those 100 shares of stock are meaningless. I don't know why they did it. I don't feel bad about devaluing it because it's just another form of native enrollment. In terms of our protections, like fire protections, 16 years down the road, all of our land in Caltech are going to be without fire protections. We don't know what we're going to do. We don't know who's going to pay for it after the fire protections are extinguished. But I know one thing. It's a final settlement. They're not going to come back and give you a freebie. You have to pay. So if we want to trade in, I mean, if we want to get some of those buffers back, some of those protections, we're going to have to trade off part of our settlement to get it. And we don't know what that final thing is going to be yet. We just hope we'll come out on the top end of it. I thought maybe that I would present this commission with a couple copies of exactly how far the government is, and within the state, the federal government, on the management of our lands and the and the federal government in Washington, it's atrocious. They want to make servitudes of us. They want to put us in the same situation of removing us, separating us from our families, and putting us in a pen. I sort of weaken every time I think about the Land Claims Act. I know how fragile it is. I've spent 10 years working at it. Changed my life. I used to be a construction man. My other land employee used to be an electrician. Roger Huntington used to be an electrician. Sidney Huntington used to be an employee over there. This Land Claims Act changed all of our lives. Well, that's all I got to say.
Eventually, our traditional council could develop the land, or we could put the rest of the land that we gave to Gunnyu, I guess I could say gave it to them now, would have been stored away for future kids down in Caltech, not for the whole corporation. Because, like you said, Glenn already had their land sale, and whatever the people lost out here, but they can come down probably buy land on Caltech later on, or on that issue.
As far as land claims concerned, I don't see where it really had helped us. The corporation had moved up here, which was the only thing to do at that time. And there's no employment whatsoever. It's just serving the hub right here, the Galena. It's the hub, I guess. Very little employment from their part, or their regional, for that matter.
Oh, that's about all I had to say, I think. Maybe Pat or Max have been to say that.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I might as well be next because I'm getting dry. Okay, the first time I heard about the Alaska Native land claims, I was on the East Coast.
Could we have your name? Sorry.
Elaine Pitka from Ruby. And I received this paperwork, and I looked at it, and I looked at it again, and I said, Christ, need a lawyer to understand what it's saying. So I just tossed it aside, and I thought, whenever did United States of America have a fair land deal with Native peoples? Anyway, time passed, and I was trying to get back home, eventually I made it back home 5 years ago to find out that one of my relatives enrolled me. Anyway, I've had some education in what the Native Claims Act means. I'm still learning. There's still a lot of questions I have about it. But from my personal opinion, I would not recommend that another Native group follow this same plan. This plan was devised by a small handful of people to represent a large number of people. And to me, okay, to have one land cash settlement for lands that were given up for other people. Okay, that's one thing. But on the other hand, with the 12% of land that was left to remain in Native hands, the 12% remaining, the people were told how they have to manage those lands. And it's a very complicated situation. People are not used to thinking of land in such terms as dividing it and selling.
A lot that are being worked on right now is the people that, you know, already said something about it or inquired about it. Or else they work on the deceased lots when somebody die, then that's the next, and sitting wells, stuff like that. And that's all.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I already testified.
You don't have any more words to add to it?
Think about it. And it's good if you do.
Oh, yeah.
Right here.
Well, I don't know much about, you know.
Just give your name first, and then just say your name first.
And Sanders where you're Cleaver.
And where you're from?
Well, I don't know. I just follow anybody.
Are you from Galena?
Huh?
Are you from Galena?
No, I'm from Koyukuk.
Koyukuk.
But I live up here, though.
Oh.
I'm over here. 1970.
So if you just want to talk about...
Why? Everything goes along with me. I don't understand too much, you know.
Well, oh, I don't know, yeah.
Well, They want you to talk about your native allotment or anything like that, native land. What the native land means to you.
Are you used to shock breed and be happy?
Oh, yeah.
You can't go in your
trap anymore? I always go out and trap every winter. And fish during the summer, but I'm working for a fishing game now. Counting fish till September 15th.
Well, did you want to talk about fishing permits or?
Fish.
Fishing permits or anything about ALEXA, the Alaska Native?
I don't have no fish license or, you know.
He doesn't have no fishing permit.
No, but what he thinks about the permit, because since he was in fishing game, but...
Well, I don't know much about those things, but I go fishing anyway before, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, they really shouldn't have thrust the mic in your hand when you just walked into the room, sir. But they all wanted you to speak for... please take a seat, and if you want to speak later, you're welcome when you've had a chance to collect your thoughts.
That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Maybe we'll bring it back here. Sanders Cleaver. Yes, Carrington.
I'll give a few comments from my father-in-law, and I'll try to do him justice. He's
pants. So we got a long way to go. And whenever somebody starts attacking the settlement, I just like to get nice and defensive about it. So I'm sensitive to it.
Can I ask you one other question? When you started out with the idea of putting all the corporation's land in the land bank, was the agreement that you proposed to have with the federal government one that set out how many years the land would be in there?
Yes.
If you wanted to bring it out, how much notice you had to give?
Yes, we got beat on that one. That's one that we got beat on, because in our agreement, we were designing around the Keokuk Refuge, and we were only talking about Caltech lands, because Caltech lands were out of their protection. So we were just talking about them, but thinking the Keokuk. I forgot your question.
Had you considered the length of...
So we worked into that agreement a means by which we had a perpetual renewal. And when they stopped it, I knew that's probably one of the reasons it wouldn't fly, and it was. And... So they came back and said, hey, listen, we're only talking about 10 years with 1 5-year renewal, you see. So we're not going to make a servitude of our Indian lands for that period of time for nothing, you see. So they got to do something meaningful, and we'll talk meaningful land bank agreement. But it's got to be meaningful, because this new era, we got to have that little help to carry us over.
Thanks very much, Mr. Spencer.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting to sit and try to hear it today and talk about that. And I couldn't try to go and talk with you any other time. I'll try to finish your work.
Well, that seems to be a problem there that Jimmy brought up, is nobody knowing what they're talking about. Because when you look at this land claims thing of the Indian land claims here, you have to look into it in a very small manner, because we've got the Statehood Act, all these different federal laws since the statehood, 25 years of law, all packed into one small generation of people.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Did you want to... Are you interested in... Is Anilka included in this?
Yeah, Anilka is the kind of chapter two of ANCSA.
Yes.
And I learned from this kind of discussion we're having, I don't know whether it's helpful to anybody else, but it's helpful to me.
Okay, well, I take this time to... Pat and I have talked a number of times, and I've heard rumors about this land bank going on, but again, the details is kept quiet. Well, I don't know. I have qualms on the corporation. I'm not a direct stockholder, so I feel somewhat I shouldn't necessarily pry into, in a sense, the corporation. I mean, it's my wife is a stockholder, but I have a mixed feelings about it, so I keep my ears open, but again, I don't go in and chew on Pat because I'm not a stockholder or try to get a lot of details necessarily. But anyways, getting back to the point on Anilka. And management of land and federal land under Anilka, through the Fish and Game Advisory Committee system and the Interior Regional Council that's set up, and it's set up for the interior region, and it is all the chairmen of the advisory committees. And this Interior Regional Council can make